Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Friday, Red Friday. AFC Championship Red Friday. January 22nd.
Yes.
2021. And on Sunday, the Chiefs play for their right to Lombardi for the second year in a row. Let's go!
That is awesome.
Yeah.
For your right to Lombardi! The pops call you smoking man, he says, no way!
That's it. That's all we got for you. I'm going to go make myself pass out until about 2 o'clock on Sunday. Good talking to everyone. The Zone is next right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. So long.
How are you doing?
Bye-bye.
How are y'all doing?
I'm out. No, I'm not. I'm a liar. Crank it back up! I'm not going anywhere. What do you think? I'm crazy? I am. I wish I could. I wish I could be like Sleeping Beauty and take a nice nap. I would say until around 5 o'clock, but I would like to watch the NFC Championship game, if that's all right. I don't want to skip that. I don't want to skip Rodgers versus Brady. Do you? No.
Uh-uh.
I want to go back to Chiefs, you being Snow White.
I got to see the Chiefs play in the Super Bowl, right?
Sleeping Beauty?
Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, yeah. I'll be Sleeping Beauty until someone kisses me.
that's right.
Right on the mouth and wakes me up.
So. Going with that.
Prince Charming? Is that who kissed
Whoever.
Sleeping Beauty? Prince Valiant? I forget.
What?
Some prince is going to kiss you.
Fine.
I hope the prince kisses you.
Well, that would be weird.
Says you.
Well, he's not alive.
Says
right.
You.
True.
Right. You don't know. You don't know these days.
Right.
But today we are ready for AFC Championship Red Friday.
How are you doing?
How are y'all doing?
Believable. Jake Pounders.
Yes, sir.
Tell Chiefs Kingdom who's on the show today, who are they going to listen to with me and Nate Bucati and you getting ready for the AFC Championship game.
Well, it's Friday, and there's only one man fit to break down this AFC Championship on this show. It's Stan Weber.
Gary Lezak.
No.
No, I'm sorry.
No. No, I think Stan watches a little bit more football than Gary does. Maybe
Stan Weber.
Stan Weber. He'll be in here at 6:30. He'll join us until Gary Lezak, and then Gary Lezak will break down this AFC Championship game right. Oh, and then we have a Chiefs montage that is fantastic. That Ben Messner and Stephen St. John had a hand in. No, no, you didn't.
We might play that. We might play that a couple times.
Oh, I plan on it.
I done heard it,
and it done be good. So I have that slotted at 8:05, and then we'll play it again in the 9 o'clock hour. Maybe tease it a little bit before that. Maybe.
It's too long to play on TV, isn't it?
Probably so.
I've been told that before.
By who?
I don't believe that.
Producers.
Idiots.
Right.
And then at 9:05, the one and only Mark Boerichter, former Chiefs wide receiver, will join us. Chiefs all day long, baby. All damn day.
And we're going to hear from the coordinators.
Big
Spags.
Red.
Right.
Might even have a Harrison Butker cut in there for you.
You better get his act together. That's all I can say. Whatever that act is of making kicks.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
He'll make the kicks when they need it.
I do want to play Dave Tobe yesterday talking about what went wrong. He gave a very interesting and in-depth answer about what went wrong with Harrison Butker on the two kicks that he missed, the extra point and the field goal. And so we'll have those as well. Some comments from Dave Tobe that I thought were very interesting. Because, look, that's, hey, it's very important. It could come down to who makes their kicks on Sunday. We've seen that before. And, I mean, Harrison Butker has been good with the game on the line. He's been good from long distance. He's just been incredibly uneven now with extra points and shorter field goals. And so we will hear from Dave Tobe to have him explain exactly what has gone on with Harrison Butker, what went on in this last game against the Cleveland Browns. I saw him miss a couple of kicks that he should not miss, and hopefully he will not miss, because Adam Teicher has been talking about it for a couple of months, that he thought that at some point he was afraid that a missed kick or a missed extra point was going to cost the Chiefs a football game. It hasn't, and, I mean, they're lucky he figured things out down the stretch of the regular season, because there were a lot of one-score games. They were all one-score games, all very close games where a missed kick here or there could have made the difference. But then it reared its ugly head again with the two missed kicks against the Cleveland Browns, and so they don't want to take that for granted. And hopefully they fix things with the long snapper, the holder, and Harrison Butker and his mechanics, because I do not want to be talking about how missed kicks impacted the game, unless, of course, Buffalo misses some kicks. Then I'd have no problem talking about that with great joy on Monday morning. So we've got all that for you. We'll preview, we'll give you short previews of, we'll just tell you, the games are going to be played in college basketball. We're not going to talk too much about them, but you know that Kansas is playing Oklahoma, you know K-State's playing West Virginia, and Mizzou's playing Tennessee. There you go. There's your previews for college basketball this weekend for the local schools. All right, so practice report. Who practiced and who didn't? Again, I think it's good news for the most part. What you could take away from who practiced and who didn't, the latest report from yesterday's practice has Patrick Mahomes as a limited participant, but Andy Reid pretty much said he took the majority of the snaps, and so he's looking good. And I think everything is right on course for Patrick Mahomes to play on Sunday, so I think everyone feels excited about that. And then the rest of the injured players that we've been monitoring were all listed as limited participants yesterday. Bashaud Breeland, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Rashad Fenton, and Sammy Watkins all listed as limited participants. Again, Willie Gay did not practice, and so you could go ahead and probably cross his name off the list for the AFC Championship game. But then a new addition to the practice injury list, running back Le'Veon Bell is dealing with a swollen knee, and so he did not practice. And really, against Cleveland, he did not play too much. And so if Clyde Edwards-Helaire returns, and with the emergence of Darrell Williams, that injury to Le'Veon Bell doesn't hurt quite as bad, because the Chiefs are anticipating getting Clyde Edwards-Helaire back in the fold. And so the running back depth chart looks a little bit better now. Even if Le'Veon Bell can't go, they'll still have two healthy running backs to carry the load between CEH and Darrell Williams, who had a very good game against Cleveland. But that's all positive stuff. I mean, you couldn't ask for much more than having all of those players, except for Willie Gay, all of those players seemingly headed in the right direction to play in some capacity on Sunday. And I know someone asked me about this, you know, since he's not on the list, what about Mitchell Schwartz? That's not happening. And so I guess the only hope we would have for Mitchell Schwartz is somehow he could get himself ready to play in the Super Bowl if the Chiefs were to win on Sunday. And so we'll keep our fingers crossed for that, because maybe that extra 2 weeks could do it. And it is the Super Bowl after all. But, Nate, overall, another good round of reports coming out of practice when it comes to the injury reports.
Certainly good news, and it was good to watch the video from the different TV outlets in town showing Patrick Mahomes in the limited time they were able to shoot some of practice yesterday out there, looking spry, he looked fine. I mean, obviously we're not privy to the tests or any of that stuff, but from what we can see of him, he looks good. So That's obviously a number one with a bullet, and everything else is important too, and that's all good news. So let's go, baby. Let's go. Hopefully, I don't know, maybe full participants in practice today.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see. And you can listen to it, of course, waiting for all the news. Just keep your radio right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, and as soon as it happens, as soon as anything is announced or anything is said or released or whatever happens, you'll hear it first right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. And again, that's a reminder that we are going to have everything that you need this weekend right here on Sports Radio 810, including both the NFC and the AFC championship games for you on Sunday. And so if you want to just kick back and crank it up and listen to Sports Radio 810 all weekend long, I don't blame you. It's the right thing to do. Coming up, we're going to have tomorrow. You can listen in early and listen to Track Talk. And then, of course, later on after that, Kansas pregame, which will lead us into the early tip-off, Nate, for Kansas-Oklahoma. That's at 11 a.m., followed by Kansas postgame. And then at 5 o'clock, our Chiefs special pregame, 21 straight hours of pregame for you right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Well, if it starts at 5, that'd be 24 hours.
Boom.
Well, you know, there's some different programming sprinkled in there, but it's going to be 21 solid hours. And it starts with Red Zone with Ali Trost. Then Darren Smith takes over, and then Josh Briscoe will have some best-of coverage overnight, and you'll hear from all your favorite Sports Radio 810 personalities with all the latest news and information dealing with the championship games. And then on Sunday, get up early with Chiefs tailgate at 8, Red Zone special Chiefs preview with Josh Briscoe at 9. We'll have our Central Bank of the Midwest pregame show at 11, NFL countdown at 1, and that'll lead you to the NFC championship game between Tampa Bay and Green Bay at 2 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 810. And then the AFC championship game between the Chiefs and the Bills at 5:40. And again, in case you're wondering, the broadcast crews right here on Sports Radio 810 for the Westwood One broadcasts will have Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, and Laura Oakman on the call of the NFC title game between the Buccaneers and the Packers. Then the AFC championship game will have our friend Ian Eagle and Tony Baselli and Ross Mother Tucker. He's going to be on the sidelines for Buffalo at Kansas City. And you can hear all of it right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Patrick Mahomes continues to progress through concussion protocol right now. He's at least through step 3 of that process. He has to go through 5 phases. And I think there's hope and optimism that he will get through all the phases and will be out there on Sunday. I think everybody would be surprised if he didn't play. Now, the real question is, how healthy is he? Nobody's fully healthy when we get to this point in the season, if your team is still playing. But he did suffer also that foot injury on Sunday that left him a little bit hobbled. And so, in addition to getting through the concussion protocol, Patrick Mahomes also has been nursing a foot injury this week. And so we'll see how that impacts him on Sunday in a game that I think people believe he will play. But there are still a couple of stages left for him to get through in the protocol, which the Chiefs are hopeful he could do today or tomorrow, get clearance, get out there, and obviously be the type of factor that he is in any football game he ever plays.
That was Adam Schefter, NFL Insider, talking about Patrick Mahomes playing on Sunday. All right, before we get too far away from it, let's get back to the kicks that we were talking about. The kicks. Get your kicks right now on Sports Radio 810 WHB. The missed kicks from Harrison Butker. First, let's hear from Dave Tobe, who was asked about the missed extra point and missed field goal by Butker against the Browns.
It was just an operational glitch that we had, with the rotation of the ball. The laces came down in a weird spot. Not one time all year did that happen, or in practice for that matter. And it happened twice. And both of those kicks, we rotate in a different way. It's just an operational glitch that we cleaned it up, and he had a great week of practice, and he was on point this week. So we're good.
Operational glitch is a great term, by the way. I'm going to use that a lot. But do I understand you right? Like the whole was the hold that spun the ball the wrong way, or what?
Okay,
what
exactly? Winchester is so good as a snapper. He can count the rotations with his snap, where the laces never appear for him. You know, for the hold. But in this case, that the laces appeared. Now there was a combination with the weather and a little bit short. Whatever we did there, we figured it out this week. But the laces showed up to where they were facing Butker, and then Tommy has to deal with, you know, getting them out of the way, which it's a matter of which way we're going to rotate the ball. So, you know, he rotated, you know, where Butker could see the laces for a longer period of time. That's not what we want to do. So we want to rotate it the opposite way so it goes away. You know, I didn't want to get real technical with it, but I guess you forced me to it. But that's really what it is. That's why I just said it's an operational thing that we got it ironed out and fixed.
Or maybe it's my inability to focus this morning. Maybe it's the fact that I'm a moron. Two things. Number one, I enjoy the in-depth answer from Dave Tobe, giving you far more information than Coach normally would about. I mean, has anyone else heard a more in-depth answer about why a kicker missed some kicks?
I don't remember
one. That was pretty good. Yeah, I mean, do you remember something that detailed?
Nope.
Jake, anything? I mean, I haven't. And so, number one, I enjoy that. I appreciate that. And then number two, I have no idea what he's talking about. I wasn't able to process any of it.
The rotations on the laces.
All right. Like, the only thing I'm thinking of is laces out.
Right.
Laces out.
Yeah. We all know that.
I know. Right.
We all watched.
So, I mean,
Pet Detective.
Make me feel even dumber. Were you guys did that all click with you? Like, okay, yeah, I see exactly what he's talking about. That makes sense to me. I'm like, yes, I don't know. Okay.
I did notice on one of the second kick I watched when they showed
you. Oh, you are so full of. I can't say it on the air. I almost said it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I noticed that the first thing I looked for when he missed the second one was, you know, when they showed the replay where the lace is in. I mean, because of, we all hear that all the time. You want the laces facing forward, you know? And I noticed that when they snapped it, the holder, and I'm blanking on his name.
Tommy Thompson.
Tommy Thompson, he did have to spin the ball like, you know, a 180. The laces were pointing when he put it down towards Butker, but it looked to me like he spun it. Maybe he didn't spin it all the way around. I don't know. But it looked to me like he was able to rotate the ball so that it would be laces out when he kicked it. But I don't know.
I'm going to start calling you Tommy Townsend, by the way. Tommy Townsend. I'm going to start calling you Nate Tobe.
Nate Tobe. Sure.
All right. Now let's hear from
Dan Marino's fault. Everyone knows that. If he had held the ball laces out like he's supposed to, Ray would never have missed that kick.
Right. That's exactly right. Let's hear from Harrison Butker. He tells us about the operational error.
You know, every kicker is different, but for me, I'm looking at the ground, the spot, basically, of where the holder is going to put the ball. And then once the ball's down, my eyes normally raise up and look at the sweet spot of the ball. So in a perfect world, that ball's still, and I can just hone in on the sweet spot and swing away. So if the laces are a little bit off, then the ball's going to be moving. But you know, it's just been, I've been very fortunate to have such a great operation the past couple weeks, so that when in the game, when the ball was moving, I just, I didn't handle it well. And that's on me because I do practice that during the week. Since our operation is so good, I do practice just seeing bad laces, seeing the ball moving. Because at the end of the day, as the kicker, if the ball's on the ground, it's your job to make the kick. So when that ball's moving or whatever, or if it's perfectly still, you know, you got to make the kick. So we got a lot of good reps this week. And as I said, as a kicker, you got to be able to handle everything, you know, no matter what.
That is Harrison Butker. And again, the punter and the holder for the Chiefs, Tommy Townsend. I will give the first person between Nate and Jake some type of gift card if you can tell me who Tommy Thompson is.
He was the governor of Wisconsin, and then he got moved to the cabinet of
Wow.
Of was it is one of the, is George Bush?
Look at you.
It's actually incorrect. He's the midfielder for the San Jose Earthquakes. He was a homegrown player.
Google it.
Brilliant
see which
son
name
of
comes
a gun.
Oh, Tommy is that what you just did?
No, I didn't. No, you want to hear a funny story quickly. So my brother's roommate in college, his dad was the attorney general for the state of Wisconsin. And then when Tommy Thompson got moved to George Bush's cabinet, the attorney general he becomes the governor. And so my brother's roommate, his dad was the governor of
Wisconsin. Can't he get you a pardon for this outstanding warrant in Wisconsin?
He's no longer the governor. But my brother got to, they would go to Madison and they would hang out at the governor's mansion.
and here you are, you got a warrant. You can't even go and drive the streets of Wisconsin anymore. Tommy Thompson was the 42nd governor of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And now currently, do you know what he is currently?
I don't have any idea what he's currently doing.
President of the University of Wisconsin System. And he was the Secretary of Health and Human Services in the cabinet of George W. Bush. Ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce scholar Mr. Jake Gutierrez, who has a tremendous grasp of Wisconsin politics.
So the governor's mansion had its own personal chef. And so my brother and his roommate would go out and get hammered in Madison, and they'd go home and make the personal chef cook them all kinds of meals.
Tax dollars hard
work
there. Be honest,
Nate. How impressive was that? He didn't even hesitate. That was tremendous. I did not expect that.
I didn't either. But I stand by it. There is a midfielder for San Jose Earthquakes named Tommy Thompson as well, just so you guys know.
This guy has a slightly higher profile.
Nah, just slightly. Agree to disagree.
Right.
I feel good day. Great day, woo.
We will. I mean, that was really. You're like a proud peacock. You're strutting.
Oh, yeah,
showing
he
us
is.
Your feathers. That's very
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I'm feeling it today.
I'm proud of you.
AFC Championship here in Kansas City this weekend. I'm feeling good.
Yeah. Jake is operating at the highest level possible right now. We'll have Stan Weber next on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You know what? Obviously, I'll let Coach deal with all that, but he looks like Pat to me. So he's been great in meetings. You know, he's fun. He's energetic. So you can always count on Pat being Pat.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Jake Gutierrez on this beautiful Friday, January 22nd, 2021. We have Stan Weber in studio to help us get through this championship game Red Friday on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I was listening to Todd Lebo and Stan Weber in the evening this week talking football. And Stan, I know that you're always excited to come on the show with us. But boy, when you get to do a one-on-one with Todd, well, that's a lot, isn't it? That's a lot on your plate, and you can't wait to devour it.
That's right. I don't get a chance to do one-on-one interviews with Todd Lebo very often. I've been around Todd for over 20 years doing things and on shows with him, but he's never been the lead guy. You know, it's very rare that he's there, and it's his show, and we're going to go. So it's very unique after all these years to have Todd interviewing me. And so, yeah, it was nice to be on his show. He's doing a Chiefs show each night, or at least he was throughout the week. And
Red Zone, right, baby.
Red Zone, and I was a guest on the Red Zone, so it was pretty funny to be there with Todd because we're going along, and Todd and I talk a lot off the air, and he gets along with everybody. He's a glue that keeps Sports Radio 810
right.
together. And
you're the only one he lets use his headphones, so that's the honor. That's the respect that you two have for each other.
Yeah, we have a ton of respect, and it's just so much fun to talk to him. It could be on the air. I joke about this station and doing this work that we do it, and then you say, time to go to break, and then it just continues on. For however long the break goes, we just continue going because we're just talking like we always do.
Yeah.
We love sports that much, and we just keep going, okay, we're back. And I go, well, those people may have enjoyed those last number of minutes as well. So, and that's why it is with Todd, but being on the air was pretty funny. I did get off the air and say, wow, that didn't happen very often. Todd and me alone doing an interview. So it was fun. And what an event. I mean, gosh, this is so big. Championship games to go to the Super Bowl are such a unique event. Every year for me as an NFL fan, no matter who's playing in it, I am fired up for those four teams and those two games and the intensity that they're going to play with and the intrigue of what it'll mean for their franchise historically and how I have to change the stats in my head, like how many times they've been in the Super Bowl or whatever. You know, people are making their Hall of Fame pitch by playing well this weekend. And then you go, wait a second, it's the Kansas City Chiefs in the game. And for the first time ever, an AFC team gets to host a championship game for the third time in a row. And I don't ever want to take it for granted and act like, oh, yeah, the Chiefs are the best. This is easy. It is still a big deal to be at this point. So it was easy to have fun with Todd.
This championship weekend, too, I don't know about you guys. I feel like we have the four best teams. That doesn't always happen. I didn't feel like that last year. I didn't feel like the Titans were one of the four best teams in the NFL. They won a couple games and got there. But this, do you feel that way, Stan? I feel like this is the four best teams in the NFL right now.
I have no problem with that statement, but I have a different, a weird way of looking at the AFC. I think the Chiefs are the best. The way the Chiefs have played over the last half of the season, the majority of the season, they're not that much better than everybody else. They know how to win, and they got championship-level players, as shown when Patrick Mahomes went out, the rest of the guys stepped their game up. So, I mean, that's a real great quality. I'm not trying to diminish that. But when they play the game, I mean, I'm not surprised at all that Cleveland was right on them. That's what I thought would happen, that it would be close. But the Chiefs are the best. But I will propose to you that seed number two, Buffalo, and seed number seven, the Colts, there's really almost no difference all the way through.
That's fair.
So it's like playing Cleveland twice, or Buffalo twice, or Tennessee twice, or Baltimore twice. Any combination of those other six teams would have been a challenging game for both rounds. Beating Cleveland was not easy. Winning this game, obviously. But it's interesting, there's no step up to me, or very little step up, with those six teams. So I'm going to give you Buffalo because they had the best record. They won their division. And they're here now with Josh Allen. So I'm not arguing, but I wanted to point out that I don't think seed seven and seed two are any different in the AFC this year. But on the NFC side, I do think Tampa is the team with Brady that is a Super Bowl level team. I don't care what they did in the regular season. They were figuring it out. They're 5-0 in their last five games. After they had a bye, Bruce Arians kind of learned a little bit more about what Tom Brady had. Gronkowski was rusty after sitting out. They got Antonio Brown in. They were learning how to win football games. I think Tampa's dangerous. And here's a stat that I heard today that maybe is the most unbelievable to me. In Tom Brady's years, however many years he's played, 20-plus years, he has made the championship game, usually the AFC championship game, but including this year, he's made the championship game of the AFC or the NFC 74% of every season he's been in the NFL. and I just incredible. A little bit ago was talking about, Stephen, how unique it is to be a part of this weekend. Oh, how awesome.
Not for Tom.
Some statistics, like he's more likely to go to the championship game of the conference he's playing in than LeBron is to make a free throw. Than a Major League Baseball pitcher is to pitch a strike. Like, those are Tom Brady making the championship game is more likely to happen than LeBron standing at the free throw line and making a free throw for his career. I mean, that's insane when you put that way.
This is unbelievable. So I'm agreeing with you with Tampa Bay, and obviously Green Bay's been the Kansas City Chiefs of the NFC. They've got the superstar quarterback. They've got a team that is playing well for the second year in a row. You know, they don't have a new coach anymore. They're 13-3 basically for the second year in a row. So there's no reason not to say Green Bay's the best team in the NFC. The Chiefs are the best in the AFC. But there's not that much difference between them and the next group of teams. And I think Tampa is the best in the NFC of the group of teams because I never bought into New Orleans. I just didn't. I thought Drew Brees wasn't going to be good enough this year, especially after he hurt his ribs, that he was not going to be the team that could go all the way and cause the Chiefs problems in the Super Bowl. So, yeah, I think if I went down and said, who do I not want to see the Chiefs play, those two teams in the NFC are definitely on the list. Because I think
we have Stan Weber. We have Stan Weber in studio. We'll be right back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
You know what? Sammy's been great. And the thing about it, when Sammy's not in there, he's been great. Obviously, Sammy's, you know, working himself back into the lineup, into the rotation. We're just trying to make sure we can get him across the finish line and get him there on Sunday. But all Rick and those guys that take care of that. But when it's all said and done, if he can be there, obviously he's going to provide a spark for us. Okay. He's going to give us another element to helping us to go out there and pursue our goals. And then on top of that, the things that he brings that energy. He brings that enthusiasm. He's a physical player. So if Sammy's able to go, we're looking forward to watching him do what he can do. But on top of that, we're counting on him, if he is playing, to make sure that he does everything that is needed to help us to accomplish the goal.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, let's get to Stan Weber. And I'll ask you the same question that I've asked a couple of other people on the show this week. You take Patrick Mahomes out of the equation, the other four players that are listed as limited participants for Wednesday and Thursday, Bashaud Breeland and Rashad Fenton, Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Sammy Watkins, who is most important? We hope all of them play. That would be wonderful if they all played and we're all ready to go on Sunday. But who's most important for the Chiefs to get back out of those four players? Go ahead and list them for me in order, 1 through 4. Bashaud Breeland, Rashad Fenton, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Sammy Watkins. Who can help the Chiefs most in this matchup against the Bills?
I've got to start with Bashaud Breeland. In the food chain, you always think about what you can do to attack, and then you got to be careful you don't get caught. And so being an old guy, I guess, I think, well, I know defense isn't a big deal in the NFL, but still, I'd rather have Breeland. He's been playing, and he's a big, long player, and with Diggs out there and and some of the weapons, Cole Beasley, et cetera, you know, the passing game is what Buffalo is all about. So I'm going to say Breeland first. But I really want to say almost game over if Sammy Watkins is playing and Patrick Mahomes is 100%. He adds such a dimension that makes the Chiefs unstoppable. It's very underrated when he's on the field because you've got one of the top two or three wide receivers in Tyreek Hill. You've got the best tight end in the league as another weapon. And then you got plenty of other weapons. But Sammy Watkins is the best third weapon in the NFL by far. And now the Chiefs become unstoppable. When Sammy Watkins is on the field, they are unstoppable. And they're just going to fly up and down the field and score. And so I think, I want to say he's the biggest difference maker, but I'm a little scared to just be aggressive and say we're going to win it on offense, forget about defense. Mm-hmm. So I will listen to anybody who says Watkins is the most important back, but I'm going to go with Breeland first. And then I'm going to Fenton as well, and I just think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is, it's nice to have him, but they don't need him. I mean, they can win with the passing game and what Williams does. It's very effective in the playoffs. Go for it and get as many yards as you possibly can. That's what a Chiefs running back needs to do. Don't dance around. Get us 4. If you happen to get 6 or 7 or 8, great. Hit these NFL players do not want to tackle you. They do not want to hit you in the shoulders and knock you backwards. They grab you and throw you forwards. They reach for the ball and try to strip it. You watch. They side tackle everybody and give up 2, 3, 7 more yards. If you're a bullet and you're going full speed ahead, they're just going to throw you further, and you're going to gain an extra yard or two. I think his style of running is perfect. So, I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a backup this week. I don't think he's a starter. I think he works his way in, and you go back to Darrell Williams, and you count on him.
So, would you say that even if Edwards-Helaire is 100%?
Yes, he hadn't played for a while.
Yeah.
And he hadn't played in the playoffs. What happens if he fumbles?
Right. He almost fumbled that cost him the game in the first time around against the Bills.
He hasn't played in the NFL for a while, and he hasn't played at this intensity. I respect that the week you're coming back is such a transition week that it's underrated. I mean, the easiest call I made all year was when the Chiefs got ready to play Drew Brees after he came off of the ribs being injured and the lung. I had that. And I went out there, and it has nothing to do with my skill level. I just know I was a shell of myself. I was integrating back into the game after just missing a couple weeks, not 6 weeks, just 2, and that injury being a quarterback, I'm going, Drew Brees is going to play awful this week. And I thought he played his worst game as an NFL quarterback against the Chiefs. Okay? I think that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to have to integrate back slowly and get used to the speed of the game and everything else. So he may be 100-yard back, but I don't think it starts with him carrying the ball. It's with him having a little success. And if he stays in the game, and remember, they ran the ball like crazy against Buffalo. Yep. If they get into that, or if they get a 14-point lead and there's 10 minutes left in the game and the Chiefs are going to pound the ball and use clock, I'm not saying who's going to finish with the most yards. I'm just saying ease him in the game, see how he goes. Don't count on him being a factor this week. Anything he does is a bonus, but they're going to be fine with Williams running the ball, and especially if they get a full-speed Sammy Watkins back.
We've got Stan Weber in studio back after this on WHB. Thank you for watching us on 38 The Spot. The show continues. Red Friday continues. The countdown to the AFC Championship continues with Stan Weber right now on Sports Radio 810 WHB.